Father, as always, we thank you because we know that the entrance of your word brings light. And we thank you for the power of the light that shines even in us and through us. Hallelujah. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory on here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, you know, we are here again. This is day two. Hallelujah. Fasting and prophetic prayers. I'm going to give a quick recap on our theme for the next several days. Well, number one, you know, we have fasting. We invite everybody to join us in fasting. You know, whether it's daily, whether you can fast all the way through, whichever way the Lord moves on you to do it, you know, and whatever you are able to do, join us. Fasting is powerful. I'll cover, you know, some of those benefits today, you know, and as we go through, we're going to be doing prophetic prayers as we go through these fasting sessions. Yesterday, I explained what prophetic prayers, what we mean by that. It's no more than taking the word of God and using his word in prayers and declaring his word through our prayers, not with a beggarly attitude. Oh no, not with an apologetic attitude, but powerfully believing the word of God, declaring it in prayer, just like he said it. That automatically translates to a prophetic prayer, because when you declare his word, remember, his word will never fail. The word of God always sustains itself, and the word will not fall to the ground without accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent and prospering in the thing that God pleases. So when we use his word like that, hallelujah, it's powerful. You know, so some of the things that we will be addressing, some of which we addressed yesterday, I took out of the book of Zechariah when we covered and looked at, and I'm going to do a quick recap in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. We saw the four horns that the Lord said, these are the horns that are come to batter down my people. Well, in the Bible, he says, scatter Jerusalem and Judah and all that. But the Spirit of the Lord gave it to me this way. Battering down the people of God, putting upon them heavy burdens, coming upon them with bands of wickedness, and afflicting them to the point that they are bent over and can't stand upright, you know, and all kinds of numerous yokes that he puts upon the people, and so on and so forth. And so those are the things that we are going to be dealing with in this room. There are four horns that plague and have plagued and battered down the people of God. But there are also four carpenters in that story. That's four different anointings. The powers of wickedness are there. Those are the horns. The carpenters are sent from God as well to fray those horns. That's right. That means, you know, the horns that were trying to beat down the people of God, these carpenters will pummel them down, hammer them down. Hallelujah. You know, so we'll be taking each one of those one day at a time. Yesterday was the bands of wickedness. Now today, I'm going to deal with the heavy burdens. And before we get there, let's read in Isaiah 58, wonderful chapter about fasting and how God declares what kind of fast he wants. And this is, again, will tell you, will show you how that he's talking about loosening the bands of wickedness, undoing the heavy burdens, letting the oppressed go free, and breaking every yoke. Four different things that the Lord calls for when we do the fasting right. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, saith the Lord, Isaiah 58 and verse 6, to loose the bands of wickedness. That's number one. We dealt with that yesterday. Number two, to undo the heavy burdens. We'll be dealing with that today. Number three, to set free the oppressed. And number four, to break every yoke. So God has given us the anointing of the carpenters. The carpenter's anointing is what I call it. To beat down on these horns. And we beat down on the bands of wickedness yesterday. We'll be beating down on the heavy burdens today. And listen to some of the additional benefits of fasting. I pick it up in verse 8. When you fast and do it the right way, the Lord said, your light shall break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. There is even health benefits from consecrated fasting. Your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. Well, may the righteousness of the Lord that's upon us speak for us in these days of fasting and prayer. And the glory of the Lord will have your back. Glory to God. Yeah, it's so powerful. Many powerful blessings for taking time out and fasting before the Lord. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer you, he said. And when you say, Lord, he will say, here I am. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you make God answer you when you call? You say, Lord, and he say, here I am. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, the Lord called people in the Bible and they say, here I am. He called Samuel. Samuel said, here I am, after Eli instructed him. I mean, whenever he calls, you know, he called Isaiah. Isaiah said, here I am, you know, send me. I'm available. But now the Lord is turning that around. He said, you call me and I will say, here I am. Isn't that powerful? My goodness. And if we can get a hold of that through fasting, he said, and, you know, one of the other things, you know, is to take away from the midst of the yoke. Don't want any more of that. Putting forth of the finger, speaking vanity. We covered that 2 or 3 days ago. Think no evil, speak no evil. Cover that already. And it begins to say all of these other things. The Lord shall guide thee. You know, he said, well, you know, he said, thy light shall rise in obscurity. Even thy darkness shall be as the noonday. You know, when it is dark around you, it will be as bright as noonday. I mean, if your darkness be as noonday, then what will your light be? Glory to God. These are the benefits. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. He shall make thy bones to be fat, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You will also be like a tree as planted by the rivers of living water. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. So the work that you do through prayer and fasting, setting the stage for even more to come. Hallelujah. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Glory to God. I mean, just so powerful. He talks about delighting yourself in the Lord. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you know, then I will cause you to ride upon your high places. Glory to God. And so on and so forth. Powerful promises. You can read and study the whole chapter on your own. You know, and from time to time, study it and latch onto those promises that he gives whenever you are consecrating yourself before the Lord. and lay hold on the word of the Lord like that. Powerful stuff, you know. So, but I want to go into today's ministration, which will be against the heavy burdens. Heavy burdens. Wow. You know, before I go there, let me read from the book of Zephaniah. Well, it's actually a part of this lesson. You know, I'm going to read from Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. And I want to just call out some things for us here that the Lord is saying to us. Glory to God. Zechariah chapter 3. Hallelujah. I will start from verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. It always seems like the Lord's always encouraging the women. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice, he said. Praise the Lord. You know, rejoice, O daughter of Jerusalem. You know, rejoice with all your heart, he said. For the Lord hath taken away the judgments. Cast out thine enemy. And he said, the king of Israel, even the Lord, remember, the Lord is your king. He is in the midst of thee, and you will see evil no more. Remember, see no evil, hear no evil. The Lord said, you will see evil no more. And in that day, it shall be said of the people of the Lord, fear not, ye children of the Lord, let not your hands be slack. And when I read the scriptures, that's why how I read them. Whenever time you say anything to Jerusalem or Zion, I turn it around, read it for myself and for the people of God. For we are now the spiritual Zion. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. It's a song we used to sing like that in the olden days. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his law and he will joy over thee with singing. Hallelujah. Now, there is a convocation that we are doing here today, this week, this next few days, you know, and this is it. I will gather them that are sorrowful or of a sorrowful heart to the solemn assembly for deliverance, not just to gather them for just gathering, you know. All that are sorrowful and a heavy burden that have a reproach that was a burden to you, the Lord said, I will gather you together because at that time I will undo all the affliction and the oppressing spirits and so forth. I will heal, there's that halting, gather those that are driven out, you know, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, do all of the things that the Spirit of God prophesied in Isaiah 61, which we read to kick off the room yesterday. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, to do all these things, set the captives free, bind up the brokenhearted, you know, to set and break, to break every yoke and all that. And he said, I will bring you again. Even in a time such as this, I'm going to give you something that people will envy. I'm going to give you a name and a praise. Hallelujah. And I turn the captivity, your captivity, and the thing that I plagued you, that I battered you down, I'm going to turn that around before your very eyes. You will see it, saith the Lord. Now, this is a powerful promise to lead into this room today. But let's talk about the heavy burdens. And yesterday I read this scripture and told you this story, and we're going to go to it again today because this is the tactic that the enemy has been using and continues to use. And we see it in Exodus chapter 5 and the story of Moses going back to Egypt to try to be the deliverer as the Lord sent him back there. And when he challenged Pharaoh and said, let my people go. We got to go into the wilderness for 3 days and serve the Lord. And he and Aaron went among the people and decide to say, look, the hour of deliverance is here. Believe the Lord. God is going to set us free. So they began to give the people hope. And as they talked to the Pope, he said, look, you guys have been laboring and your necks have been under the yoke. The Lord has sent us here to give you hope. We're coming out of Egypt. We're going to our own place. We're not going to be there, slaves anymore. And they will not be our burden and taskmasters anymore. And they began to give the people hope. And so the people say, yeah, why not? And so the people began to, slack off from all the heavy laden that they were burdened with. They began to have hope. Say, hey, we're going. So they went to Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let my people go? And this was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. The other one that knew and favored Joseph and his kingfold had gone. Another one rose up that didn't know him at all. And began to put them in oppression. And said, the people are too many. They're going to take over the land. So turn them into slaves. And so this Pharaoh said, look, these people be idle. They be idle. That's why they are saying, we're going to go worship the Lord. They have free time. Here's what we need to do. He turned to the taskmasters. He said, look, we need to stop all this bickering about we want to go and worship the Lord and so forth. And they are slacking off in their duties. And you, Moses and Aaron, you are making their people to slack off. So now you taskmasters, go and add more labor upon them. That's right. Add more labor because they are idle. They have time on their hands. That's why they are thinking of worshiping the Lord. Let there be more work added upon them. Add more labor. Add more burdens so that they will not have any time to say we are going to worship the Lord. Now the same tactic the devil still using till today. Add more labor. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 27, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Now, we know we must work. If any man doesn't work, let him not eat. But this labor is hard labor. It's not just working. It's hard labor. God wants us to work. I mean, from the beginning, He gave Adam a job. He put him in the garden to dress it. So that, that God doesn't have any problem with that. Scriptures tell us we should walk, and so forth. Lamentation 3 and, 27 tells us it's good for a man to, to bear the, yoke in his youth. I mean, you put in all the hard work in your youth and so forth like that. So God's okay with that. But when it becomes a torment, when the labor is such that it prevents you from worshiping the Lord, from having time on your hands, and even time to enjoy the good things that you are working for. For the scripture says, for a man to do well and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. But when you can't enjoy it because it is too tasking, and it takes away your free time that you could have used for worshiping the Lord, then you need discernment, because that is a tactic that the devil is using. And Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Well, my challenge to us today is, are you not ignorant or are you ignorant? Because a lot of us are ignorant many times of the devices that the enemy will use. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, it is vain for you to wake up early, stay up late. I mean, instead of 8 hours, you put in 12, 13 hours. You go from there, you go to another one, put in another 6 hours. I mean, you work 2-3 jobs, and so forth. And yet, still can't make all the ends meet. You have no time at all, And when you get on the job, in fact, sometimes, you ask for, a new job and you get it and it becomes a snare because the devil will put more work upon you and all of that. Whereas it was intended to be the blessing of the Lord. according to Proverbs 10 and 22. A blessing of the Lord supposed to make you rich and have no sorrow. But there is sorrow now. There is burden on the job. There is everything. And, you know, you are do all this work and yet it's like putting money in a bag of holes. You know, and all of that. So if that's the situation, then there is an oppressing spirit from one of these horns that's behind it. And their job, these horns, are to batter down the people of God to make sure you cannot walk upright. You put so much heavy burden upon you until you are bent over. They put a yoke upon the necks of the people of God that they cannot be free. And so that's what we're dealing with in these rooms. Jesus gave an invitation. Matthew 11 and 28. All ye that labor like this and are heavy laden because of the strict, hard labor, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Trade that yoke for mine. My own yoke is easy. My burden is light. People say the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. They say, no, my burden is light because the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. But take yourself out of the yoke of the enemy. You know, now, God does actually want us to labor. But let me tell you something that we call an oxymoron. You know, when you say something that is contrary to what it looks like it is saying, you know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 11. In the book of Hebrews, remember, when we, those of you who are here, we covered the book of Hebrews. When we covered this chapter in particular, of chapter 4, we talked about the true rest, the true Sabbath. And when we covered that, we talked about, you know, the Sabbath not being some day of worship. That's a myth that people gathered over the years. People gathered a lot of myths. One of them is that the Sabbath is a day of worship. There's no such thing in the scriptures. The Sabbath is a day of rest because every day is a day of worship. Now, but even because there were so many different Sabbaths that we covered, a Sabbath for this, a Sabbath for that, a Sabbath for this, a Sabbath for that. Well, you know, people got confused, and Jesus did away with all of that. You know, he said, look, man was not made for this Sabbath. Sabbath was made for you to rest. But in this verse, Hebrews 4:11, he says, you know, that you should labor to enter into the rest. You know, that's what you would call an oxymoron. Why am I laboring to enter into rest? You know, that seems like an opposite. But this is the kind of labor that the Holy Spirit wants you to understand. It is not the tasking labor that puts you under bondage. It is a striving to understand. Just like Jesus says, strive to enter into the straight and narrow way, which leads to life. But the other way, which is broad and wide, you know, leads to destruction. There'll be many that find it. This other one, few will find it. You know, because, you know, few find it, you've got to labor to find it. You know, sometimes that also means paying a price, just like we are paying a price to fast and to seek the face of the Lord. If you don't want to do it, the disciples, they were enjoying the fact that Jesus told them that they didn't have to fast, you know, and he was, you know, it was in their corner when people were accusing them that they were not fasting. And say, well, they don't have to fast now. They're the children of the, you know, bride chamber. They don't fast when the bridegroom is with them, but they are rejoicing. You know, but the days will come and the bridegroom will be taken away. Then they shall fast. Well, they were not fasting like they should have. And then they couldn't cast out the devil that they should have been able to cast out. And then Jesus told them, well, they asked, why couldn't we do it? He said, what? Number one, because of your unbelief. Number two, because this kind does not go out except by fasting and prayer. And there are the kinds of these four horns that we're talking about in this convocation time that do not go out except by some serious fasting and prayer. And here's how I described it yesterday in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. For every battle of the warrior is with garments rolled in blood and confused noise and so on. You know, that's how people normally fight. But this one, this is a different kind of fight. You'll be burning and full of fire. You know, you got to step up your game in this fight. How do we step it up? Well, we step it up through prayer and fasting. You know, Jesus laid the example himself. You know, I mean, 40 days before he would step out into his ministry. My goodness. You know, I don't know about that. You know, that's a prophet type of fast. You know, don't try to do that. You know, if God didn't call you to it. But 40 days he was in there, you know, Moses, Elijah, all these people, and Jesus, you know, 40 days. Moses even twice like that. You know, but Jesus showed us that, look, you got to take time out, you know, when there are great things ahead of you. And he knew what he was going for. He was going for the pearl of great price. And to get that pearl of great price, you can't, you're not, the devil is not going to give up. And we read that yesterday in the book of Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. When a strong man keeps his goods and he's in his palace, he thinks everything is all cool until a stronger than he comes upon him. And then he's going to spoil him. And I call that spoiling the spoilers. And that's what the carpenters do. The horns are the spoilers. The carpenter's anointing is what spoils the spoilers. And Jesus would explain it also in Matthew chapter 12. He would explain it and tell the people that, look, the way, you know, to defeat a strong man, you can't just do it anyhow. And verse 29 of Matthew 12 says, you know, first you got to, you know, bind the strong man. You got to bind him before you can spoil his goods. But you can't bind a strong man unless you yourself are stronger. You know, so the carpenter's anointing is stronger than the, you know, buffeting anointing of the horns. That's what the Lord is showing us. And to sometimes for you to be able to, you know, tap into that carpenter's anointing, in order for you to be able to invoke it and experience it in all spheres of your life, sometimes you got to kick it into prayer and fasting. Now, those heavy burdens, they are there and they come from many different places. You know, I want to focus particularly on the burdens, you know, and there are many, there are several, you know. In another place, he calls it numerous yokes. In that, Isaiah 58, because there are all kinds of yokes, say that you break every yoke. You know, well, these things all overlap, you know, and there, you know, there are burdens that even come from sickness. There are burdens that come from your job. There are burdens that come with trouble within the family. Things are going wrong with your children. You know, whatever. You know, just burdens everywhere. And the devil will take advantage of all of that to put us into a spirit of heaviness, you know, and that's what happens. Suddenly, you know, everything seems to be going well, but suddenly one day you come back from work and you're just depressed. You are deflated, you know, and then some heavy spirit comes upon you. You wake up in the morning, you wake up into a mood of heaviness, you know, and all that. Well, you know, we're going to deal with that today. We're dealing with that throughout this series. But we're dealing with it by putting the word of God out and then showing us, you know, what you got to do. Now, you know, the one of the things I want to focus on today also is the anointing to break the yo-yo spirit. So I'm calling it yo-yo spirit. You know, so take that down as one of our punchlines today. The yo-yo spirit is one day up, and next day you are down. One day you are on cloud nine, shouting the victory, you know, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next day you're all gloomy and heavy of heart and so forth. The sorrow of heart sets in. Why? Because of burdens that the devil will bring. Heavy burdens. You go to work, you know, instead of, you know, just a light day at work, all hell breaks loose on your job. By the time you come back, you are whacked out. You are overwhelmed. You know, kids running around screaming, things that you have to deal with, you know, bills keep going up. You go to the grocery stores, all prices are higher, everything. And then things start breaking and spoiling, and you have to fix them. Things start breaking in the house, all kinds of problems. You know, all of these things just bring heavy burdens. And then next thing you know, some bad news, some bad report, you know, and so forth. But ladies and gentlemen, there is good news. According to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, if we receive the witness of man, you know, like witness of God is greater. What are the witness of man? You know, well, you know, people tell you things that you are not there and you believe them. You turn on the news, you're not there, but you believe the news anyway. You know, because, you know, the news, you know, those who are reporting it, you're not there, but you believe it. Or the eyewitness news or whatever, but you believe it anyway. Well, if you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, that there is hope of a tree. Hallelujah. According to Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. This is the witness of God. There is hope for a tree, that though it be cut down, hallelujah, and withering away, and all of these things happening to the tree, and they begin to get even rotten in the root, yet through the scent of water. Oh, glory to God. That tree is going to bud again. Hallelujah. So there is hope that when the devil pummels you down, here is the word of God for prisoners of hope. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 62, he begins to tell the people that, look, I have sworn by myself that I will no longer give your meat to be, everything that you have, your corn that you have labored for, I will no longer give them to be meat for your enemies. Now, these are things that you have labored for. So let's read it together in Isaiah 62 and verse 8. The Lord has sworn. And it's not all the time that the Lord needs to swear, you know, but, you know, to make assurances doubly sure, sometimes the Lord will say that in the scriptures. His word is good, whether he swears or not, you know. And but the Lord said, I have sworn by my right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. Well, you labor it, but somebody else is gathering and eating it. That's not your portion, the Lord is saying. But they that have gathered it and they that have labored for it shall eat it. And they shall praise the Lord. They that brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. So that's the good news today. That the labor, your labor will not be in vain. You will not be vain for you to be walking all night long, all day long, only to eat the bread of affliction. For so the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. Psalm 127 verse 2. That's good news. The other good news today is what we are calling the theme of this consecration time. That there is a carpenter's anointing here to beat down and hammer down on the horns that have battered down the people of God. The spoiling of the spoilers. The spoilers are the ones that have been beating down on the people of God. But God is now set to change the tables, turn the tide, turn the tables in your favor. Now let's read a couple of scriptures here before we go into prayers. There are some scriptures that we must use when we pray, or that we can use when we pray this kind of prayer before the Lord against heavy burdens. Well, I already read to you Zephaniah 3, and I already gave you Matthew 11:28, where the Lord said, "Come unto me, ye that labor." Let's read Isaiah 14, and we read this briefly yesterday. Here is a point blank promise to get you out of the heavy burdens. Isaiah 14, hallelujah, verse 24 and 25. The Lord of hosts has sworn. That's swearing again. Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break. Now that Assyrian is one of those horns, you know, that pummel down the people. Is like the Pharaoh that put the burdens on the people. I will break him in my land. That means in the life of my people. Upon my mountains will I tread him underfoot. You know, and then shall his yoke depart from off of you and off of my people. And his burden shall be taken off of your shoulders. Now that's a promise, point blank promise against these heavy burdens. You know, so we've got to believe the Lord as we, you know, enter into the prayers. And one of the things that we're going to, realize here is, you know, because we are praying here today doesn't mean that right after this room, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everything changes for your work situation. I mean, you're scheduled right now, you're scheduled around the clock, you're scheduled on weekends, you're scheduled on Sunday and all of that because you won't have time to worship the Lord. It doesn't mean it's going to change right away, but it means it is going to change. Because the Lord is going to set things in motion, and wait for it. It will not tarry. It will surely come. And then you will be the enforcer of the things that God has already done. I read the story to you also yesterday, or spoke about it, of Dagon in 1 Samuel chapter 5, how he fell before the ark. You know, but the Lord left a stump and the residue, the head, the arms, and the limbs were broken. But the stump remains for you to stomp it down and break it to pieces and take no prisoner. Hallelujah. You know, so we are the enforcers, and you must do that. That's why the Lord said in Isaiah 52 and verse 2, shake yourself from the dust, you know. Arise and sit down, O captive daughter of Zion. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. And I put this behind it. Snap out of it. Enough of that already. Don't put your neck out anymore for any yoke. Don't put up with any of that. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have any of that. I'm not going to put my head under the bulrush. I am a daughter of the King. Glory to God. And I'm not going to, you know, let any yoke be around my neck. Snap that yoke off. The Lord give you the power. He even gave you commandment. Now listen to your commander in chief telling you now, we are soldiers under the Lord. Paul told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Well, as a soldier of Christ, your commander is giving you a command that you should snap out of it and that you should loose yourself from the bands around your neck. You don't need to wait for somebody else to do it for you. You do it. The Lord has given you the command. Have I not commanded you, saith the Lord? That's right. That's what he told many of them. He told it to Jeremiah. He told it to Joshua. He told it to Moses. He told it to many people. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and have a good courage. Hallelujah. So let's read also in the book of Leviticus, there are many things that the Lord used to tell the people. And the reason he told them from time to time was so that he could encourage them. You know, I'll tell you something too, when they went to, when they were in Egypt under bondage, they were there for so long that they got used to the oppression after a while. They just got used to it. They were no longer crying out. They just took it, whatever will be, well, it is what it is, and so forth. You know, life has dealt us a difficult hand, and they just, go on like that. And the Lord had to tell Moses, he said, look, I saw their affliction for many years, but now I can hear their cry. And there was a time when they were afflicted, but they were not crying. At least not crying out to the Lord. Maybe just grumbling and this and that. But after a while, they got used to it. I mean, the men got used to being pummeled down. They even got used to seeing their women ravished in front of them. Because they were slaves. They couldn't do anything about it. And they just went through and, for many, many, many years, hundreds of years, literally, generation after generation, And so Moses, when they came out, Moses had to teach them again how to stand up for themselves. He had to tell them, look, enough of the slapping you around that they used to do. This time around, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You take the battle to the fight, or the fight to the battle, or however they say it. Don't stand back and let somebody bully you around. He had to teach them all these things. He had to teach them how to take their, pruning hooks and make it into spears, and all these things, because they were so used to just being slaves, beat up and everything. They couldn't fight back, couldn't speak up. They couldn't do anything. Moses told them, look, enough of that. This time around, somebody punch you, you punch them right back. Somebody slap you, slap them right back. Now, Jesus had to change that. But Moses had to teach them that, don't sit back and let them people just ride over you anymore. Glory to God. And he taught them how to fight back. And so here's what the Lord told them in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. And God had to tell them and remind them of these things. Don't settle for a situation where an enemy is riding over your head. God always had to tell them, I am the Lord God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Why? The Lord always had to remind them that, and that you should no longer be their bondman. No. No more. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. They used to bend you down, put so many heavy burdens on you until you could not even stand up straight. Enough of that already, the Lord told them. Hallelujah. So this is the good news that we have today. And the Lord is always telling the people and reminding them that, look, I have already broken the bands, for you, the bands of wickedness. We broke those yesterday. Today, we are undoing the heavy burdens. Hallelujah. So that you may stand upright. Don't put your neck, don't put your back under the heavy burdens again. Use discernment. Have your senses exercised to discern, the tactics of the enemy when he's trying to pile more burden upon you. Give you more work so that you're going to be able to serve the Lord. Make you have more bills to pay. Make all your bills go up and so forth so that your salary can't even make it. Just put all kinds of things upon you. If you are a student, make sure you have more exams. Make sure you have more problems. Make sure that, you can't find your notes. When you have time to study. All kinds of oppressing spirit to try to put heavy burdens on you and so forth. But here's another good news for you. The scripture says, redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, let me propose to you this day that because of the inspiration of the Almighty, according to Job 32:8, that the Lord will put in your spirit, he can redeem the time for you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. In the case of where you would take you 4 hours to figure something out, the Lord, by inspiration, will make you figure it out quicker. Hallelujah. The Lord will make you, you know, this is part of how he breaks the yoke. Something, well, when you spend time with the Lord, God will turn around and redeem that time for you. It's like you put the time in the hands of the Lord. It's like you put the 2 loaves and the 5 fishes in his hands. And he'll bless that and put it right back in your hands. When you cut back on the things that are preventing you from serving the Lord, and you spend a little bit of time, part of that time for the Lord, that's like putting it in his hands. He takes that time that you just gave him. He redeems the time for you. He's called the Redeemer, isn't he? Don't we call him the Redeemer? That's right. He's the Kingsman Redeemer. He's that time Redeemer as well. You can write that down today. He's a time angel. He redeems that time. And we call him the Palmoni. He's the great time angel. He can redeem the time for you. You take that time, you put it in his hands, and the next thing you know, something that should have taken you 5 or 6 hours, you know, he'll let you figure it out in 20 minutes. Yeah. You know, I've experienced it because of the inspiration of the Almighty. And these are the carpenter's anointing that the Lord gives you to battle and push back the horns that are putting you down. So the Lord tells us that he has already broken the yokes. He has already broken the bands. Psalm 107 verses 15 and 16, which we sing all the time. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercies, because he has broken the, he has already broken, not that he will. He has already broken the gates of brass. He has already cut asunder the bars of iron. He has already broken the yokes of the burdens that they put upon your neck. The Lord has already broken it. So set yourself free. Hallelujah. Set yourself free, because the Lord has already set you free. So we're going to go into a dimension of prayers here today. In continuing in the same spirit of the carpenter's anointing, you know, let's see if we can't shake up some things here this morning, break some things. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. The oppressing spirits, like I said, these things overlap. I'm going to go more into the oppression and oppressing spirits tomorrow, but they overlap, you know. But just know that the Lord, today we're dealing with the heavy burdens. When you leave from this room today, you know, you ought to be able to go away with the sense of freedom. Hallelujah. Liberty from the heavy burdens. And God will begin to bring a shift. Hallelujah. There's an atmosphere shift right now. Hallelujah. Heaven open. Let the heaven open. Let there be an atmosphere shift. Let the Holy Ghost, let him move. Hallelujah. And let him begin to bring order out of that chaos. You know, in the beginning, and everything was out of, you know, order and chaos everywhere. The Lord didn't like it. The earth was chaos everywhere. It was without form and was void. The Holy Spirit moved and he began to bring order. You know, and so when your life is chaotic, you know, it seems like everything you put your hand to just goes crazy. I mean, not crazy good, but crazy bad. I mean, things are just falling apart. Then that's when you need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost comes in. Now, when we fast and pray, it is not for us to ask God to give us this or give us that. No, it is for us to strengthen ourselves, to break the yoke and snap out of it ourselves. You know, that's it. You know, we don't need to pray. And let me just set the record straight. You don't need to pray that God should be, you know, giving you what he has already given you. But you need to strengthen yourself. It's like putting, strapping on your, you know, battle gear. You know, suit up, get the something on for you to fight the good fight. That's what we do when we fast and pray. You know, for our daily needs, all you need is a casual prayer. You don't need to fast and pray for your daily needs. All you just need is a casual prayer. But Lord's going to take care of that. I mean, how many of you are fathers and parents? I'm a father. You know, I'm a parent. By the grace of God, I'm even a grandparent, you know. I mean, my kids, growing up, even up to now, you know, if they need something, they don't have to cry and beg and scratch and do all of that. You know, they just have to reach out. That's all, you know. But because I, being a father, I know how to do that. And Jesus said, look, you who by nature are evil, if you know how to do these things, how much more your heavenly Father, who by nature is good. And he doesn't, you know, the Bible says in James that there's no variableness with him, no shadow of turning, but all good and perfect gifts come from him. And that's that variableness I was talking about again. That's that yo-yo spirit. God does not have a yo-yo kind of thing. There's no variableness. That means there's no mood swings. He doesn't have any mood swings. Today he feels good, so he's going to bless you. Tomorrow he doesn't feel so good, so he's not going to answer his your prayers. No. It's no variableness with him. In him is yea, and in him is amen. And all his promises are yea and amen in Christ. So, when we pray and when we fast, it is for us to strengthen ourselves against the devices of the devil. Hallelujah. So that your senses may be sharp. When you are fasting and praying, you know, you are more keen to the sensitivity needle is moving more in the sensitive direction rather than in the non-sensitive direction. That's what we do. But now, enough said on that. Let's pray. We are going to pray against the heavy burdens for yourself, number one, and then for members of your family. Those of you who have grown children, we have to pray for them that the devil will not put them under burdens as well. Heavy burdens, you know, to where they can't even do anything for the Lord. And then you pray for your brothers and your sisters, the brothers and sisters that are in this room. When you are praying for yourself and you pray for others, you look to your left, you pray for the person there. You look to your right, you pray for them. You look above, beneath, people around you in this room can see their photos in the avatar, and pray for them as well as you pray for yourself. And God's going to do something for us here today. And you go forth in this room liberated. You say, and you will be able to sing at the end of the day that the Lord has set me free. I mean, I am delivered. Praise the Lord. Once I was bound by all these heavy burdens, but now I am delivered. And I am delivered so that I can have time to worship the Lord. You know, not that we should have time to do more evil and more idle things that doesn't go anywhere in the kingdom, but the Lord will deliver you that you may have time for the kingdom. And time for the things of God. And when you put that time back in his hands, he will redeem it and multiply right back to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So are you ready? Now, this is the hour of prayer now. We're going to remember that every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood. Yeah? That's how battles are fought. You know, it's going to be blood. There's going to be garments rolled in blood. There'll be confused noise. But, you know, we are stepping up our battle game. Even beyond that, beyond all that noise and all that stuff, we are stepping it up to burning and fuego fire. Glory to God. Because we have that power that God has given us. The Lord said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And that's all. That's A-L-L. The power of the enemy. Over the power that brings spiritual wickedness. That's the bands of wickedness. Over the power. Remember, those horns are powers. Over the power that brings heavy burdens upon people. Over the power that brings oppression and oppressing spirits. And over the power that puts numerous yokes upon the people. These four powers and horns, the Lord said, I gave you power. I'm giving you the carpenter's anointing. The power to pummel them down. Glory to God. So let's rise. Let's arise. And let's shine forth with the power and word of God. Let's snap ourselves from the dust. Don't you ever put dust on your head or ashes on your head. You are the daughter of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Put on your beautiful garments. According to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Put on your beautiful garments. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Put on the garments of salvation, you know, and walk in glory, because the glory of the Lord is upon you. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. Isaiah 61 and 10. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. And he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride decketh herself with jewels. That's how you should be decked out in the glory of God, not with ashes and so forth like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise spring forth in your life. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today, against the heavy burdens. And now we are going to pray. Hallelujah. We are going to pray, and I invite everybody that's in the room, whether you are on stage, whether you are in the audience. Now, I imagine that the people on stage are going to participate in this prayer directly because you're on stage. That means you have the mic. So you join us in the prayer. And if you are in the audience, I want you also to signify that you are in this with us by hitting the hand raising button. When you raise your hand by hitting that hand raising button, which is at the lower bottom part of your screen, that tells us that you are with us in this prayer. And we will be praying for every hand that's raised. And I'll be believing God for everyone that's also on stage. And in a minute, we're going to go into prayers. Now, this is not a silent prayer type of thing, folks. No. This is a prayer that we must voice out, because the angels are waiting to hearken to the voice of his word out of our mouth. And that's how we get those angels to go into action on our behalf. So we're going to pray together. You're going to open your mouth and you're going to declare it according to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26. You're going to declare it. You're going to voice it out in order for the Lord to bring justification to your ways. Isaiah 43 and 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it, that thou mayest be justified. You have to declare it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I'm going to say a quick prayer and then we're going to all go into prayers. Lord, I thank you for the word today. And I thank you because that word is quickening our hearts today. You know, enabling us to understand and recognize who we are in Christ. We're not bondmen. We are not slaves. And we cannot have chains around our necks. Cannot have these heavy burdens on our backs. But the children, I am a son of the Most High. You can say I'm a daughter of the King. We are not going to be a captive daughter of Zion. I'm a liberated daughter of that King. I am a liberated son of the Most High. I'm going to lift up my head. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come on in. Who is this King of glory? Who is he? The Lord that is mighty and strong in battle. And those that are with him are strong and mighty as well. The word of the Lord said to you yesterday, to all of us, he said, the most feeble among them shall be like David. The ones that have no strength among them shall be like Samson. Glory to God. That's what this power-packed prayer, convocation, fasting time will do for you. It will turn your weakness into strength. When you are feeble, you'll be like David. You know, when you are weak, you'll be like Samson. Whoo, my goodness. And what happens then when you are really strong? Glory to God. You break every band, break every yoke. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go into prayer.